Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ron Coomer, Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
Unbelievable.
1999 American League All-Star.
You might expect Wells to mix his pattern up. I mean, Coomer has owned David Wells.
This might work out.
The Coom Dog, every week with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. Always a delight to talk to our guy, Ron Coomer. And Ron, we have a special attraction. Danny Parkins filling in this morning for David. And Ron joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Hey, Coom.
Good morning, Mikey. Danny, how are you guys? How are you boys doing?
Well, we're living great. The dream. Are you kidding? This is what it's all about, buddy. Happy Good
dream.
Friday. Yeah. So listen, Ron, we're looking at the Cubs. We're talking about big picture stuff because of the off day. And it's interesting just talking to Gordon about the kind of the guys in slumps, right? The idea that that Bryant isn't hitting as well as you would have expected. The idea that once again, a slow start from Anthony Rizzo. And what do we make of where Kyle Schwarber's at? And having said that, his response is, I say, well, you know, we know Anthony Rizzo's coming back. I don't say that about Chris Bryant. And I guess the reason I don't is because I'm suspicious that he's injured, even though everyone says he isn't. But something's going awry with him that doesn't make sense to me the way slow start for Rizzo makes sense to me.
Well, I don't know if he's injured. That I don't know. He's got some mechanical things going on with his swing, and it's coming and going. His swing is getting long and a little bit on the loopy side at times, and then it comes back. Now, the last game in Miami, it came back, and you know, he was shortening up his stroke, and it was better. He hit a line drive bullet to left. He hit a couple balls the day before that to right that were really good, you know, and the ballpark kind of got him. It's just a really big park. So for KB, I can see, you know, things starting to work a little bit better. And Kyle, I think Kyle started getting away from what he was doing earlier, and that's trying to hit the ball the other way. And Joe saw that, and I think Joe just gave him a couple days off to just kind of recalibrate. But, you know, young players are going to have their struggles. That's just the way it is. I don't care how good they are. And, you know, for Kyle, that's the case. Anthony, it's kind of odd because you just don't see him struggling. In the last ball game, he was a little out of whack, and it's good that the other guys are picking them up, but they're going to hit. You know, all three of them are quality hitters, so I don't see that being a long-term problem.
But Rizzo consistently slumps in April. You have a theory?
I don't. I don't, Danny. You know, sometimes you play in this weather, and some guys just aren't very good playing in, you know, 40-degree weather, and they're going to play in it again today. It's going to be really cold and breezy, so I don't have a theory, to be honest with you.
Yeah, career batting average for Rizzo in April or March, .234 with a OPS of .809, both by far the lowest of any month splits over the course of his career.
Doesn't make sense, right? I don't have that answer because he swings the bat pretty good in spring training too, but it's also warm, and then he gets here. And some of it, if you play a lot of ball games at Wrigley, some of it is the Wrigley Field effect too, with the cold air and the wind blowing in. You know, the high deep fly balls don't go in the seats; they end up getting caught right in front of the track.
Ron, obviously, the pregame begins today at 12:45 here on the Score with Zach, and you guys start the game at 1:20, and we'll see Kyle Hendricks, and maybe we'll see a quality start. And I love this. We have a texter who wants to ask you, is it the juiced ball or the slick ball, whatever is going on with the baseball? Is that why Kyle has started slow?
No, I don't think so. I don't. I don't know if we have a juiced ball. To be honest with you, I know there's some theories about that out there floating around, but I think for Kyle, it's he's making some pitches, you know, some bad pitches. He's throwing the ball in the middle of the plate, and he's elevating his pitches a lot more early in the year. And he's getting hit. And when he elevates his pitches in the middle of the plate, like any other pitcher, you know, you're vulnerable. And for Kyle, that's what's happened to him at times so far this season. He's got for me, any guy that doesn't throw real hard, if you're struggling at all, if you start pounding hitters inside and making them aware of your fastball in for strikes and balls, but pitching to the inside part of the plate, all of a sudden what that does is the hitter's got to be aware of that pitch. I don't care how hard it is. And then that opens up the outer part of the plate. And I think, you know, we might see that from Kyle today, just having a little more command to that inside part of the plate and then, you know, maybe getting some soft contact on some pitches away.
Coom, we're about a week away from Addison Russell being able to begin his minor league rehab assignment. And I was thinking about what Joe did with Zagunas and KB last week when he said, you know, he wanted to give KB the day off, but also some guys are just better suited to being pinch hitters because if you're a regular everyday guy, it's hard to just come in cold in the ninth inning. In theory, a lot more guys are going to need to, you know, be able to perform in short spurts once Russell's back and there's more of a position player logjam. Who do you think is most conducive to be productive in short spurts versus who needs to play the whole game in order to get the most out of their production?
Well, the one guy that to me is the perfect pinch hitter because of his abilities in his short swing is Descalso. He has a stroke a lot like LaStella did last year. Real short swing, uses the whole field. He's going to be the guy that's going to end up getting more pinch hit opportunities, I got to believe. And that's part of the reason the Cubs brought him in, is because he is good at that. So he will be the guy that will pinch hit, and I believe Addison, if he is prepared to play, he will go to short, and Javi will go back to second base.
That Descalso is such a good clutch hitter, at least he has been to begin the season. I didn't know he was that good. When they got him, I didn't know he was that good. He's been really, really good, Ron.
Yeah. Mike, there's some guys, and you know this, you don't appreciate their abilities until you get to see them every day. You know, he was with some good teams, and, you know, you saw him have good at-bats, but you see him for 3 days, and then they leave town, right, or you leave town. When you see a guy day in and day out, like we've seen Descalso, he just gives you a quality at bat all the time. The other thing, too, is he really knows what he wants to do. So he puts pressure on the opposing pitcher by not chasing. He's beat the shift I don't know how many times this year already. I just love when guys do that. Him and Zobrist just make my day every day when they shift them all to the right side when they're hitting left hand and they just roll the ball the other way. I'm like, God, it's just, I can't wait till teams just keep getting burned night after night after night shifting. So he can do that and do it really well.
I'll be honest, it sometimes pains me, though. I know he's struggling, but when Schwarber lays down that bunt to beat the shift, even though he's good at it, it's like, I want to see Kyle Schwarber swing away.
Yeah, I like him swinging. Now, I'm not a huge fan of the bunt to beat the shift. Not for the big guys, the guys that can swing it and hit the ball out of the yard. But I definitely, especially when Kyle gets behind the count, to shoot the ball the other way, I got no problem with that. But the bunting thing, I'm not a huge fan of the bunting. But, you know, I know some of the guys are doing it. Even Anthony's done it a few times this year.
The opening of the season set panic and kind of changed the way we were looking at the Cubs and the bullpen issues. That's all settled down. Now they come back. And obviously, Miami's not a great team. But you load up on them like you're supposed to, and now you have a chance to get back to 500. What's the mood around these guys? Is there a growing confidence? Is it once you get to 500, you restart the season sort of thing?
Yeah, I think they've already kind of hit the reset button. Mike, I really do. When you saw him on the plane the other day, and you see guys having fun, enjoying what just happened. You sweep, and yeah, Miami's not a good team, not at all. But you still got to play the games, and you still want to win those games. And they won all three, and they played good. So I really do. I think once you get a few good ball games behind you, and you get some good bullpen outings behind you from up and down the bullpen, right? Then all of a sudden, you could see the team kind of hit that reset button. And I think they have already. Yep.
Hey, Coom, when we had Gordon Whitmire on, he said that one thing that could be backfiring is when you give out the lineup ahead of a series, and so a guy knows that he's going to be in, you know, two of the 3 days, but if something changes and you want to bench him, he mentioned Zagunis in the Atlanta series, then it looks like it's a demotion, as opposed to what was happening last year was where the guys were coming in and finding out the lineup, and they were thinking about it on a day-by-day basis and not knowing when they were going to play and putting pressure on from that. When you were a player, did you prefer to know about it ahead of time, or was it, you know, if I'm in the lineup, I'm in it, and if not, I'm not?
I would prefer to know that I was in it the night before, but you know, Tom Kelly sure as heck didn't care if I wanted to know or not. He didn't. He kept chewing that cigar and just be happier in the lineup when I put you in there. That was TK. And the only time I really knew I was in the lineup was Joe Torre, and it was real simple. If it was a left hander on the mound, I was playing third. If there was a right hander on the mound, Robin Ventura was playing third. So we knew that was just the way it was going to be. So, you know, I this is the way they wanted it. I don't think that's going to happen too often where a guy gets taken out after he's already told he's going to be in the lineup. That's not how Joe handles things. It's going to happen on occasion, but the guys wanted to know they're in the lineup 3 days in advance. They get to know they're in the lineup 3 days in advance. I don't think it's, you know, I think that's going to happen so few and far between that I don't think that's an issue.
Ron, thanks a ton. Have a great day. Should be a lot of fun this weekend.
Boys, you guys enjoy your holiday weekend, and we'll be at Wrigley.
All right, buddy.
Thanks,
take
Coom.
Care. That is Ron Coomer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.